Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have filmmakers Nathan and Megan Leon, part two. We'll see a scene from their film and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guests are Nathan and Megan Leon. They are the founders of Visionary Film Productions, and they just come out with a new movie called Grace by Night. We talked about it last week. This is the second part of a two-parter. We're going to continue our discussion about the film, but also some of the aspects of production. How do you get a film like this made?
And we're now going to a scene from Grace by Night.
Night.
You could say that. Can I help you with something?
You don't remember me, do you?
No.
It's okay, I looked different then. I had a bottle of pills and I was ready to call it quits for good.
And then you showed up. Like some sort of divine appointment. You told me something that night that changed everything. Do you remember what it was? You told me that your son was gone and you couldn't get him back, and you didn't think that you were going to make it. And yet, there you were, opening up your heart, trying to save someone else. When I was at my darkest, no pastor, priest, life coach could have changed my mind, no sir. Only someone who had been to that darker place, somewhere even darker than I had ever been, could give me the hope that I needed in that moment. Not only save my life, but that of my baby girl. You talked me out of making a bad decision. A week later, I found out I was pregnant with little Maya here. Now, I don't know what brought us together that night, or what made us cross paths again here tonight. Some may call it fate or destiny. But we may never fully understand why our pain is used for a greater purpose. At least not in this life. But I do know one thing. I love my baby more than I've ever loved anyone or anything, and more than I love myself. And for me, she'll be the reason I'll keep on living.
Well, Nathan and Megan Leon, welcome back to Life on the Rock. This is our part two of a two-parter show with you all, talking about your movie, Grace by Night. And we just watched a clip, a scene from The Laundromat, and that was a special scene for you. You said you shot it early in the production?
Yeah, that was one of the first scenes, actually, that I wrote. I actually teared up writing it, which I think is coming from the Holy Spirit, you know, knowing that you're not writing it, He is, and that's always what you're looking for.
Yeah.
But it's really a scene for me about, she's kind of the guardian angel in that moment, and he's at the lowest point of his life. And it's a scene about how God can use any random person that you might encounter to speak to you or to give you a leg up when you need it.
Yeah.
And I think he does.
Yeah.
And also, it's a subtle way, a subtle pro-life message in the fact that if she hadn't followed his advice, her daughter wouldn't be there.
Right.
So how you deliver pro-life messages to a secular culture, you have to do it delicately.
Mm-hmm.
so it's not too preachy or in your face, but it does make a really important comment about that yeah. topic. Yeah. And so it was important to me, yeah.
And you do a big, fat, close camera shot on the baby. That, yeah. that works yeah. every time, right?
It was tricky, though. It was tricky. We had the actual mother, we would put in the costume, uh-huh. and she would hold the baby. Yeah. We'd get that shot, and yeah. then we'd switch and have the actress come in for the close-ups on her. So, but it worked.
Tricks of the trade.
yeah. And I want to ask you, too, about the car. I was telling you earlier, it seemed like I wasn't completely sold on the car in the beginning of the movie, yeah. but then I fell in love with the car as we yeah. went on. And why yeah. did that work so much?
Yeah, you know, the car becomes a character in the film yeah. because he's in it, driving around to these different people, trying to help them throughout the whole movie. So we didn't want him in a Volkswagen Bug. We didn't want him, you know, we didn't want him on a motorcycle. So a specific car that looks nice, you want to see, and also had to be fast because yeah. he's trying to get to serious yeah. situations yeah. quickly, yeah. Much like a cop would have to. So that just seemed like the right car. The sound was pretty brutal because it's so loud that we yeah. had to adjust sound levels often on set. Yeah. But yeah, the car was a police officer from Tuscaloosa brought the car into set every day. And we could race down roads if we needed because we had the law with us. He was our stunt driver, too. So that helped. He drove the car. He brought the car. He was a great guy.
I think yeah. there's a level of masculinity, too, that's reflected when you're thinking about, you know, classic vehicles. And, you know,
so that's a 1970s kind mm-hmm. of muscle car.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I think that that's important to remember, like, that type of masculinity is really important and powerful. Yeah. And for men to be able to express themselves in that way is, and to be able to show it and have it be okay, you know, that's important to us too.
That's a great point. I didn't catch that, but yeah, he comes in as a masculine kind of father figure, mentor figure, mm-hmm. something of stability, somebody you can rely on. Mm-hmm. And yeah. so, yeah, you don't want him just barely getting there to chill. He comes.
Just barely getting me there in time.
Yeah. You'd have him floor it. Get there in time. Yeah.
Now, you started your own company, film company, and what are some of the goals you have for that company?
Yeah, you know, other than, you know, we want to bridge the gap between the secular viewer, I think I mentioned that before, and the faith viewer. And, you know, I always think of Mother Angelica. You know, she was a pioneer in her time, and she was always pushing the envelope and trying to figure out new ways of doing things. And so that's what we're trying to do. We want to learn from her example. I think we want to learn to bring faith to audiences in a new way and in a modern way, meaning high production values, high quality films, yeah. and deliver the message. You know, the audience these days, they're really demanding. The visuals have to be very thought out. They have to look really good mm-hmm. because they don't tolerate bad quality these yeah. days, you know, and they'll just flip the channel. So yeah we're just really trying to, we don't want to hang onto the coattails too much of the people who have paved the way. We want to also follow our own path that we feel God's inspiring us to go, you know, what direction we're supposed to go. So
how would you describe like the current landscape of mm-hmm. faith movies?
Yeah, there's all faith films. We are friends with most of those filmmakers. We mm-hmm. love them. For us personally, we feel our calling is to show the reality of the world that we're living in, yeah. even if it's sometimes a little gritty and a little tough. We always say, without, you know, the darkness, mm-hmm. there is no light. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we have to go to those darker places to start the film before we yeah. can get to the light, right? We call that the arc in storytelling. Yeah. And to see that redemption, we have to be honest about how we are all fallen. We have to, yeah. you know, not dwell on those facts, but the character needs to start at a darker place before we see them get to the light. And I think that's really important. That can be lacking in faith films sometimes.
I think that there are a lot of people who are excited about that changing within the faith film dynamic, though. You know, it's something that we see almost glamorized in secular mm-hmm. films in the Hollywood sphere. You don't want to glamorize the dark, but it has to be there, like you said, in order for the light to make a difference. And sometimes, you know, you have to have a slower pace of where you get to where the audience is ready to receive it within the Christian world. And mm-hmm. we really see that kind of changing now and feel like the films that we're bringing forward, Grace by Night and, you know, The Rust on Our Slate, are going to help facilitate that even more.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jesus went out to mm-hmm. the people on the streets,
yeah.
the people in really tough situations, and there's a lot of dark figures that he had to encounter and help get them to find hope. And so we mm-hmm. want to do the same thing in this story.
Yeah, that should be a bread and butter of the Catholic filmmaker too, is that, you know, grace builds on nature, that mm-hmm. In our history of art too is, you know, beautiful, realistic art, and the scriptures itself, the Old Testament especially, it's a bloodbath, it's a lot of sexual immorality and everything. So, yeah. But yeah, the Catholic, the gospel message is one of transformation of the inner heart, and, you know, showing our humanity and showing our transformed humanity, you know, by grace. And I found that refreshing that, you know, in the film, it's like you had the bad guys, right? The drug dealers, and you communicated that quickly and kind of simply visually, because sometimes in the movies, it's like, okay, you know, the standard scene, you got to show how brutal this guy is, how scary he is, and all this violence, and it can, you know, it gets so predictable. So you guys seem like to get the message without having to go to all the gruesome.
You can plant the seed in the audience's mind without showing too much. They'll get the idea. Audiences are smart. So just, you know, figuring out ways to show that without, again, dwelling on it for too long, you know, I think is the key.
Then you get back to the grace storyline very quickly. And,
But even what you were saying about, you know, within our Catholic faith, you know, something that we talk about often, that the Catholic Church used to be the leader in art. It used to be the one that would always, you know, finance and make sure they pave the way for great art in the world. And, you know, it's a big goal of ours to ignite that passion in people again, to use the medium of film to get back to that higher standard where we used to be, you know, and require more of the church in that way.
The bar is set so high by you know, Netflix and Amazon and all these different, come Disney, as far as quality. And so we really feel like you have to know your craft really well, and know how to deliver the visuals in that
I was gonna say, when you say quality, you mean visual quality, not story quality.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you know, keep our morals, but deliver it in a visual way. That is a good point.
I think you're right. Yeah, it's like we can immediately just turn it off. We see something that's okay. I don't have time for this. It's got to be strong. And then, but too, the good part of the artistic good point of that is that you can convey so much just in a simple visual. Because today it's like, it's such a high bar, and there's so many techniques and everything. You can convey a lot with, and I think you do that beautifully with some of the music. Struck me, it's just like simple, like a tender music for an intimate scene kind of thing between characters, and I like your use of slow-mo, that you just physically like slow the movie down.
Anytime there's a supernatural moment or some kind of we're putting you inside the head of the character, right?
High drama,
and we want you to be in his headspace, and so that when he comes to those grace-filled moments, you're experiencing it with him. And I think, especially in one of our final scenes, I won't spoil it, but time kind of stops for him, and he takes kind of an inventory of his life and how he's living and what he needs to change. And so we try to use, you know, the speed of the film to help bring that out.
We gotta take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment with Nathan and Megan Leo. Well, welcome back. I'd like to ask both of you this. Were there moments where you felt like God's hand was really on the project? There was an experience of anointing, maybe in some of the characters or actors or whatever?
Yeah, actually, I think a lot of people who were on set, they could just feel that we were in a prayerful state. We were trying to say prayers before we would start shooting. And also, at the end of the shoot, we had one of the actors come up and tell us that he had a conversion to the faith after being in the film. And he had been spiritual way back in his life, and he completely left all that behind. And then at the end of the shoot, he said, "I just want you to know this movie changed my life, and I'm going to be Christian again." And and I think that that's the best thing ever. I mean, no matter how the movie does, if one person even can come to Christ through the making of a film, I mean, you can't beat that, you know? So thank God for that. But that would be what comes to my mind.
This was probably before we went into production, but from a business standpoint, because that's where my mind always is going, you know, we pray a lot about who comes on board with our financing. And, you know, you have a budget locked and set, and then there's always, you know, contingencies and things that come up. And we were at a point where we were either going to be able to keep a scene and a big section of something, or we were going to have to cut it because it was going to be an extra expense. And we were both like, all right, God, it's up to you. We're going to leave this up to you. And the next day we had a call with additional investment funds. And so that was, to me, one of those moments where I'm like, okay, I know that we're on the right path. I know we're making the right movie because we left it up to him and he brought it forward in a way that we didn't have to go and search for it. Yeah. So, you know, just moments like that, you know, where we can share that with each other and have the phone call be like, you'll never guess what happened and how this came through. And we get to keep that whole sequence now. So
yeah. That resonates with EWTN, Mother Angelica.
Yeah.
Getting money at the last minute. In your own personal faith lives, did you have some profound conversion or experience? Or?
I was raised Catholic, but I would say I fell away from being a practicing Catholic in my early 20s for quite a while. I'd say 5 years, 6 years. And over time, I felt God saying to me, you know, you want to be a filmmaker. I was upset that my career wasn't progressing fast enough. And I felt in prayer that God was saying, you want to be a filmmaker, but how many films have you made for me? And I had to sadly admit to myself, none. And I was trying to go down that secular path. Yeah. And what he was saying is, I gave you a talent, I gave you a gift. You're not using it for me. Like, right. Don't expect your career to go where you want to go. Right. So about that time, I had a conversion back to my faith, and then also to try to bring that into my career. Yeah. That would have been something that really has stuck with me since, and I've tried to stay on that trajectory ever since.
Yeah. And just very much an outsider, but you hear people talk about wanting to make films, they have dreams, whatever, but so few make it. Yeah. I mean, it seems like that alone is a miracle, isn't it? to make a faith-based film.
Yeah, right? I feel like when I was getting into the industry, I didn't feel like I would get a lot of help when I would try to go get it, other than my mentors. Yeah. There was a lot of times where I would reach out for it, and they're just busy. People are busy. Yeah. So. Yeah. I got to a point where I'd pray, all right, God, what do you want me to do? And I felt like he was saying, start your own company. You sometimes you have to learn by going out and doing it. So what we do now with our company, though, I try to look back on what we felt was lacking. We try to bring new filmmakers onto our sets and try to open the door to them so that they have opportunities to continue to grow in their craft and also put their faith into their films. Just trying to open up the chances for them to get into the industry a little bit.
And in ways where they're not just getting coffee. Which is important. Right. Everybody needs coffee on a film set.
But
where
it's
practical application for them, where they're actually working under a department head to shadow in a way that's very, you know, helpful for them with what they want to do with their career.
Yeah. And I guess as there are more faith films made, is it kind of a building momentum? It helps the whole genre, right?
I think, you know, the bar is going up on faith films, and they're definitely more and more studios are realizing that they're also good financially. They do well financially. And so there are higher quality films coming out, and the doors are just opening for faith films. Mm-hmm. I remember as a kid, I felt like God said I was supposed to be part of a revolution in filmmaking. And I think that's what we're seeing now. There's just so many more films and way more opportunities now.
Yeah. And I, you know, as I get older too, I feel for the actors in the industry. You know, it's a big money-making thing. They're being crushed and they're struggling with their own dysfunction in life because of probably largely the culture of it. Yeah. But I imagine you're getting some actors too that are looking for something better, right?
We've had a lot of actors come to us and say, you know, the parts that we're getting offered, it's just morally, they're not feeling right about doing it. And especially, like you said, as they're getting older too, they're realizing some of the stuff I did when I was younger, I don't want to do anymore.
Yeah.
So we try to, you know, find those actors who are willing to take these parts on, and we all grow together as a family. We bring them back on future productions.
Yeah. And even some of the parts that we offer, you know, if we're offering a teenage role, we're not going to make them behave like a 30-year-old.
Right.
We're going to make them behave like a 16-year-old and things that are appropriate for that and still have it be culturally relevant.
Right.
But, you know, there's just things that are in a lot of the secular culture with those roles that they have to do things just to progress their career or if they're going to within the secular market that is very damaging. And, you know, we really like to provide the opposite experience for them.
Yeah. And I think today, too, I mean, there's so much media, so much movies being generated today. I don't even know how you describe television, if it's cable or digital, whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of content. So I would think there's a lot of actors out there that are a lot of talented people that, you know, could be tapped into. And we just have a couple minutes. And let's just mention the film again. The two big themes of Grace by Night that you wanted to convey was...
Yeah, the themes of it are, you know, asking God to help show... I want people to watch it and realize that they can do what God wants them to do at any point in their life, even if they don't feel like they're the perfect person for that job. If he gives you a task, go do it. Yeah. And, you know, our character is very flawed in the film, but God still uses him. And I think that people need to realize they don't have to be perfect because we're all flawed in order to do God's work.
Right.
And God can use anyone, and he often does. So that would be one of my main
themes. Another big Angelica theme, right?
Yeah. And redemptive suffering
redemptive
is in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She was always talking about that as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then just trusting God that, you know, even if we're in the darkest point in our life, if we stick with him and we pray and we do what he asks us to do, he'll show us a way.
Yeah.
You know, he'll show us a way.
And of course, I love the fatherhood theme, the mentoring theme of the hero, you know, that's so needed in our culture today, just for men to be present in younger men's lives and stuff. So,
yeah.
But congratulations on a great film. Enjoyed it. And we just wish you the best and hope for a lot of success. We're praying for you all.
So
thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us. Appreciate it.
Who doesn't love a good film? Yeah. I love to watch movies. I love the drama. It speaks to me. You know, someone described movies as taking life without and showing us life without the boring parts, right? People have the great lines. They don't stumble and everything. And the creative arts have a way of just penetrating us, right? Mm-hmm. With an immediacy. They can stir us very quickly, more than maybe a big fact lecture on a topic. They can convey the truth of our humanity in kind of very penetrating way quickly.
Oh yeah, sometimes it's just the nonverbal communication too that really speaks to the heart, you know, within us. But how often, we watch a film, maybe a good one that really entertains some kind of moral or philosophical theme that really kind of makes us dwell on it. You know, something that we keep revisiting, you know, and that happens to me all the time in movies. And I think that's just the power of film in and of itself, that it, you know, it can influence for the way of the good or the way of the bad, you know? And so we really do want to direct that on that good path. So.
Yeah. And like when we were talking about the use of his slow motion in his film and some nice music, how that could convey just the drama of that and just speak to you. Mm-hmm. And it invites us in as a viewer, invites us in to kind of sit with the character, relate to it, connect with something. And the beauty of that, maybe the struggle, maybe the guy's struggle, that we can say, I have a struggle, I relate to his. The beauty of that lifts us up.
Yeah.
It really inspires us. You know, beauty is such an important part of evangelization today. It speaks us of God, points us to God. And sadly, we know in Hollywood, we can just kind of go down to the base level of just showing consumerism or irresponsible individualism, casual attitudes towards sexuality and
or violence.
Like violence and vengeance and stuff like that. So we need to get out there as Christians to make some beautiful, good films that are real, realistic, but lift people up.
We don't want the film to make a person numb to a lot of the human sufferings or greed. Yeah, and that can very much happen, that in a sense it can desensitize us to many things. But I think at the heart of the film is really to stir the passions of the human heart into the good direction of God, you know, and that there is a side of life where there's, you know, humanity is broken. There are faults, you know, where, you know, just the consequences of sin so often, you know, plague our lives, you know, but there's that story of grace, a redemption of faith, you know, and that's something that does need to be communicated so often. And a lot of people, they do find themselves in dark spots or positions of despair, and they need that voice, they need that encouragement, you know, to just see the light. So
amen. So we'll send you into that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you. May he give you his peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
crisis.
Tonight's the night. I'm gonna pull the trigger.
Called, because this will be all over the news by the end of the day.
What are you planning on doing?
You'll know soon.
I don't know what else to do. I can't keep living like this.
I need help.
I'm done.
You told me something that night that changed everything.
Diabetic to a cardiac arrest.
Do you remember what it was?
7 over Steven, the 34 with the weapon.
You didn't think that you were going to make it.
This is my dad. He's been in jail a dozen times, so it doesn't do any good. So are you gonna help or not?
All right, where you at?
There you were, opening up your heart. You talked me out of making a bad decision.
1-3, the police are requesting an ambulance to detail me as screaming.
1549 East
18th Street. Caller, third party. See the call from an elderly woman at the above location. There's a heart attack.
Can you help me?